Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
In this time before we close off the show, and maybe we can have our time back this evening because we couldn't have our interview, but I do want to share with you something that's been on my heart, something I've been talking to God about, particularly this week. So I am a very ambitious girl. I have such big dreams. I probably ask God to do the most insane things for me. And sometimes it doesn't work. I mean, sometimes God blatantly says no, and it hurts. It hurts so much. And sometimes he says yes. And other times, I'm trying to think of a time when God said wait because I received something later on. Okay, there have been times. And other times he says wait, right? And I just have to wait and see what's coming on the other end. And this past weekend, I heard a scripture that I've always known. But for some reason, this weekend, it sounded so different. It sounded so, so different, and it really landed in my spirit. And the scripture is a very common one, but I'm going to break it down because I really want us to get the most value, and utility out of it, all right? It is Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. If I'm led to, we'll also go to verse 7. But Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And I guess why this particular scripture sort of resonated with me this past weekend is because I've been asking God for something bigger than me, something I've been praying for over 5 years now, something I've been asking God to do for me for over 5 years now, and I've revisited that prayer. And every other time he's just said no. And I know this because it hasn't been happening. And I know it's been a no all of those years because there have been markers or milestone markers to prove to me that God was saying no. But this time around, I've thrown my name in the ring again, and I've asked God to do it again for me. And I'm not going to lie to you. In this time between me praying and waiting for the response, I've been quite anxious. And it's not a kind of anxiety that's debilitating where I can't eat or I've got panic attacks or anything like that. No, it's a kind that says, is God going to do this? I mean, he slapped the door in my face four times already. What makes me think it will work this time? What makes me think he will say yes this time? I mean, I've been asking for so long. Get a hint. Get a clue. God doesn't want this for you. Those thoughts have been creeping into my mind, right? And I've just been really struggling with waiting on God. And when I read, "Be anxious for nothing," it stopped me dead in my tracks, because it would have been better if this was a suggestion. Like, oh, try not to be anxious. But it says, "Be anxious for nothing." It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. Because what happens when we are anxious is that we are bearing upon ourselves the care that is undue to us. So we're taking God's position, because what makes us anxious is us not having control or us not being able to give ourselves the outcome that we want. So the fact that God is in control is what is making us anxious, because we would rather be in his position where we are giving ourselves the yes or the no or the maybe or whatever, or even insight or point of view, right? Or foresight into look at what's going to happen, so that you can, if he's going to say no, you just move on. If he's going to say wait, then you're happy because you can do other things and wait for the time he will say yes. And if he's going to say yes, then you can be happy and move on with your life. So the fact that we don't have that control, our anxiety is basically our minds and our bodies rioting because we don't have that control. And it's literally sitting in God's hand. It makes us the father in the situation instead of being the child. And if you've asked God for something, if you've asked your father for something, I can't talk about asking a father for anything because I wasn't raised by my dad. The one time I did ask him for something, he said he didn't have it. And it turns out he did. But that's a story for another day. So I don't have that perspective. I know of the only father that I've ever interacted with and prayed to, which is God. And so we put ourselves in the position of being the one that is being asked, or you want to be in that position. And that is why we get anxious. So in this verse says, be anxious for nothing. It's basically saying you don't have the control. Okay? So be okay with not having the control. You don't have the control. You don't have the foresight. You don't even have the answer. The last thing you want to do to yourself is be anxious. And I know it's difficult. I know it's tough because this week I've been having it really rough, just waiting on God to give me the response. But be anxious for nothing is the command. Then it says, but in everything. So if we're anxious for nothing, it means that in everything. And I love that it says in everything because here it's showing us that everything is a proper subject of prayer. There is nothing that God doesn't want us to present to him. There is nothing that he said, oh, hey, this is none of my business. This is in your control. This is not my jurisdiction. This is not something I want to do. In everything, your career, your finances, how you raise your children, in your position as a child, in everything, in that relationship, in the breakup, in the divorce, in the marriage, in the business, in everything. In everything. Because there are situations and areas of our lives where we would rather have control. The ones that we are comfortable with God having control over, we give to him. But they're ones we want to hold close to our chest and close to our vest and keep control. But it says here, in everything, what needs to happen? By prayer and supplication. I was very intrigued by the difference between prayer and supplication. Why are they separated? Because to me, it seemed like the same thing. What prayer is just a broader general conversation you would have with God, right? Prayer, because prayer includes thanking him. It includes forgiveness of sins or asking for the forgiveness of sins. So basically prayer is the conversation, right? You could have a conversation with someone where you need something, but you don't even tell them that you need it. So you know how we often do it? We're just like, woo, it would be so nice to, you're beating about the bush, right? Oh, you know, I've been feeling so tired and you want your partner to get a hint that they should take you to the spa, right? So you're just like, woo, I haven't had steak in so long. Essentially just trying to signal to the person that, yo, this is what I want to do. So that's what prayer is. It's a general conversation. So here it's saying, yes, you will have the general conversation, but there also needs to be supplication. And I was just like, what? And you know what supplication is? Supplication is directly asking God to do something. Asking him to do something directly. It is letting him know that this is what I'd love for you to do. It is commissioning him. And I know if you're super religious, if you are conservative, you're like, no, you can't tell Jesus what to do. Please. God is our father. And again, maybe I'm speaking like this because I've never had a father who I can go directly to and ask things to, right? So I'm coming to God with a blank slate. I don't know what the protocol is. As far as I'm concerned, if I need anything, I'm going to come to my dad. If anything is bothering me, I'm going to come to my dad because there's no secret between us. In any case, he knows everything. So when it says in everything by prayer and supplication, it means you can tell God what you would like him to do in a certain situation. That's what supplication is. It's giving us the platform to say, ask what you want. Similar to what happened with Esther. Esther was given the opportunity by the king to present her supplication. Nobody could just go to the king willy-nilly. But the king said, come in and tell me what you want. Tell me what you want me to do. We have that privilege in everything to tell God what we would like him to do. So it's not a general conversation. It's literally saying, Lord, this. That is what supplication is. And then this is the part that got me, because I don't know how I was reading this verse. I somehow missed this. With thanksgiving. It says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You know what happens when we want something so badly? When you've wanted something for 5 years, it's easy to say, Lord, you have embarrassed me. You have embarrassed me. I've wanted this thing and people have known, but you've said no. And people saw you say no to me. And every time I've gone back, you have embarrassed. It's easy for us to say that to God. It's easy for us to say, you have deserted me. You don't even listen to me when I pray. What is the point of praying? It's easy to whine. It's easy to complain. It's easy to cry, and not even cry like, oh Lord, you know, but cry and say, in the past, this has been a useless exercise. It's been a fruitless exercise. You haven't come through for me. It's easy to say that. It's only natural for us to say that. But here we're being instructed in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, positioning our hearts for gratitude. Lord, you've said no about that other thing, but in all this time, I haven't gone without. Thank you for that. Thank you for the times you have come through. Thank you for the times you made me wait, and the waiting was not in vain. Thank you for the time you said no, and then I later realized that you were protecting me. Thank you for your yeses, because they gave me the thing that I wanted. With thanksgiving, it is difficult. I'm getting emotional. It's difficult to go to God with a heart of gratitude when you've been met by failure over and over again. It's tough. When you've put your supplication and it's come back with a, I regret to inform you. Because sometimes we read those from God. He says, I regret to inform you. Sometimes you don't even get the email. Life moves on and you realize, oh, I wasn't taken. Other people get the job and you're like, oh, okay, I guess it wasn't my turn. With thanksgiving, Lord, you've come through for me before. I have no doubt you can do it again. And maybe not in this area, but I haven't gone without. You've given me what I needed when I need it. And that is grounds for gratitude. That is grounds for thanksgiving. Because it doesn't matter how difficult your life has been. It doesn't matter how many no's you've heard from God. It doesn't matter how many doors have been slammed in your face. You have seen the goodness of the Lord. He has been good to you. If you still have full use of your legs, God has been good to you. If you can hear me now, it means you're not deaf. If you can speak, it means God has been good to you. You've got a meal. You're not going to bed hungry. God has been good. You're still sane. God has been good to you. You have seen the goodness of the Lord. And so with thanksgiving, it's not spiritually bypassing ourselves. It's not us making excuses or making us feel better for the no or the wait. It's realizing that God is good. He has been good and he will continue to be good. Even with the we regret to inform you message. Even in silence. There's a song we sang a few years ago in Quaver Vocal Group that says, I believe in the sun even when it is not shining. I believe in love even when I don't feel it. I believe in God even when he is silent. Because he has been good. So when it says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that is meant to center us to say, God has been good. God has been good to you. You're not in a grave. God has been good to you. Your children are still alive. God is good to you. You've got a mother. God is good. And I know someone might be saying, Bumi, my children have died. My mom is gone. Tonight I'm going to bed hungry. Your God is good to you, but not to me. The things you're talking about, I'm in a wheelchair. I can't see. I'm depending on people to move me around. I'm bedridden. I'm being eaten up by cancer. Is God not good? And in all honesty, I am not God's spokesperson. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, but I know for sure that even in our difficulty, we have seen God. The fact that you had a mother means God was good. My mom wasn't raised by her mom, and she was around, drinking herself to a stupor. Actually, ganga, and I don't even know how to say that in English, but she was everywhere in the world except for in her children's lives. You had a mother who loved you, who took care of you. God was good. Or once upon a time, you had limbs that were active and functional. God is good. At least you've got that experience. I know it's tough, but be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I think we also need to move to a place where we are able to not bargain with God, but to say, Lord, I represent you. I am your child. When the world looks at me, it's a reflection of you. What is my hunger saying to the world about you? What is my desperation saying to the world about you? Because let me tell you something. If there's one thing God will protect, it is his name. When you read in the Bible, especially with the Israelites, when they were busy doing things and God's like, hey, for the sake of my name, this is what I have done. God cares about his name. And sometimes we just need to put his name up to him and say, look at what people are saying about you. Look at how your name is being spread in the world because of my position. I am called by your name. I am yours. What is this saying about you, Lord? Because God will protect his name. And sometimes we need to remind him, yo, I bear your name. I bear your name. Do something. Do something. Yes, I'm grateful, but please do something. Let me finish the verse. It says, let your requests be made known to God. This verse could have read, make your requests known to God. Do you agree with me? It could have said that. Make your request known to God. But it's saying, let your requests be made known to God. It means you have a part to play in letting the requests be known. It means you have a part to play in vulnerability. It is so difficult to be in need. It is stripping of dignity to be in need. When you have to come to God lowly and humbly, saying, I need this. I am desperate. And sometimes I need you. I'm desperate for you because sin has got you on a chalk hold. To say, I need you. I need this. I need freedom. I need money. I need peace. I need love. It's difficult, but it's saying, let your requests be made known, meaning bring yourself to that place of vulnerability. Allow yourself to come to God, Nobody's going to bring you to God. If you had pride in your heart, you better kill it and let your requests be made known. Let yourself know what God needs to do in that supplication. Let your requests be made known to God. Make them known. And maybe let me go to verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. The peace of God. It could say peace from God. It could say peace from God. It could say peace in God or peace with God. But it's saying the peace of God. Because the peace of God is the kind of peace that is beyond all understanding. Any other peace is not the peace of God. How do we know this? The disciples are in a raging sea, a raging storm with Jesus, and he is sleeping. They were confounded. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Ulele, seriously? Seriously, you're sleeping? Sometimes we need that peace of God that allows us to sleep in a storm. That even when things are not making sense, we have the peace of God. Because the peace of God surpasses all understanding. And it's not saying some understanding, right? Because one could say, oh, you can only understand this kind of peace if you are a Christian. We've heard those, right? Yeah, you won't understand this because the things of the spirit, the things of the flesh. No, no, no. Even those who are not of God will understand this peace. Well, it surpasses all understanding, but it's not a kind of peace that is understood by some and comprehended by some and incomprehensible to others. Everybody will be like, what is going on? Christians and non-Christians alike. It will not make sense to anybody. No, man, why are you so peaceful? Remember that lady in the book of Kings, and one of the kings, when she came across the servant heading for the prophet. And the servant is like, what is going on? And she says, it is well. That's the kind of peace that you need. I've presented it to God, or I'm going to God, and he's going to sort it out. If the answer is yes, I'm going to joy in the response. If it's no, I am going to have a peace about it. If it's a wait, in the waiting, I'm going to have a peace. It surpasses all understanding. Christians won't get it. People who aren't Christians won't get it. You won't get it. But that is a kind of peace that he will give you. And that peace will guard your mind and your heart. So that anxiety we spoke about in the evening, it is addressed here. In place of that anxiety, he gives you peace. And that peace guards your heart. That peace guards your heart. But where does the peace come from? How do we get rid of the anxiety? It is in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Letting our requests be made known to God. That's what God has been dealing with me over this week. That's what a scripture I knew all along spoke to me like this week. I read the scripture when I was a kid, but it read me now that I'm an adult and I'm asking God for something he said no to 4 times already. And maybe the next thing we'd need to ask is, when do you know to just stop asking for that and ask for something else? I don't know yet. And until God tells me that answer, until he reveals it to me, I am Bumike Mbonani, and I hope you've just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. But for now, ciao.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.